This is Wayne Free, and welcome to another edition of the Don and Wynn Show, 6 o'clock on September 8th, I think. And my co-host, introduce yourself.
Well, folks, it's good to be here. This is Don Newsom. It really is a pleasure to be back once again with y'all.
Hey, Don, do you remember that email we got from that guy that talked about Alpha and Omega?
Alpha and Omega. No.
He said you were, he said you were Omega and I was Alpha.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It was a comment that you forwarded to me. It was very interesting. The guy, I don't have my computer open or I'd read it. Maybe next week I'll read
it. So you were the Alpha and I was the Omega?
I might have it mixed up. I can't remember, you know? That we create a field between us of opposite ends of the universe, and that and he was flipped out over our show, and if that gentleman is listening, we say hello to you tonight if you're listening.
Oh
tonight.
Yeah, I remember that email. Yeah, that was an absolutely excellent email.
Yeah.
In fact, I was going to post that. Just absolutely fantastic. We really do appreciate the comments that people email on us, because some of them are extraordinary.
Yeah. And also, if you hate us, please email us.
Absolutely.
Too.
Well, if you hate Wynn.
If you hate Don, you know. Just, so you can take sides and say, Wynn, what are you doing with that dumb co-host of yours? Or vice versa. Don, what are you doing with that dumb co-host of yours? And, you know what? We love each other, in spite of ourselves.
Well, I love you. And you love me.
And we love our audience, and we love sharing...
That was a beer popping, folks. That's right. I'm having a beer.
We love sharing... You're having a beer, Don?
Absolutely. A Dos Equis. Two times the fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I you're not supposed to be drinking on the job, you know.
Hey, I'm always on the job. That would mean I could never drink.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That ain't happening.
So, you know, this is the Don and Wynn Show, and anything can happen, and we never know what's going to happen. And those of you who've been tuning in, this is really a slice of life. We don't prepare. We don't know what we're going to do. We sometimes have guests, and sometimes we just don't. And you can hear Don and I try to reconcile our Alpha and Omega energies on the air.
The yang and the yin.
The yin and the yang, right. When they're copacetic, they're copacetic. When they're not, we're obnoxious as heck. But that's okay, because we just keep going. And you guys who are listening in, we're all sharing this moment together. We're all in a moment together right now.
That's all there is right now.
And that's it. So, you know, my philosophy is we start out with chaos and then see how the moment builds from chaos. So we just wipe our slates clean and you're there with us. So this evening, we have a really different kind of topic tonight. And the reason we have this topic is because we have a guest. And I live in Los Angeles, or I'm in Los Angeles sometimes, and I went and visited Don's brother, Doug, this week. And Doug had a fellow sleeping on his couch.
My twin brother, Doug.
And this fellow has an ordinary job, and yet he's got an extraordinary energy. And he's an up-and-coming actor. And as we talked a bit, I learned, well, it was obvious to me that he was one of those advanced souls that had come in for this period of time to be here in this present period of the evolution of our planet, which are called...
Wow, you took quite a shine to this fella.
Well, you know what, which are indigo children or crystal children, and of course when they come here, like everyone else that gets born here, they usually get screwed up. They don't know that they made that decision. And this is a guy that actually figured out a lot of it on his own and figured out that he came here and figured out that our planet was in some kind of transition. And You know, he was very much influenced by Peter. I believe Peter. What's Peter's last name? Peter Lamas, right?
Lamas, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, Peter discovered him and said, this guy is amazing. And, you know, they went out to dinner, and Peter kind of acted as his mentor for a bit. And because Peter recognized that he was an extraordinary guy, and Peter gave him a bunch of books to read, and he ate it all up. And his name is...
Is there anything left?
Tyler Gallagher. And, you know, on the surface, I would say Tyler is a guy who, you know, if you were an ordinary person and you knew he was going to be an actor, you would say, this guy is probably going to be successful because he has a tremendous amount of personal charisma. You know, it's like he reminds me of the people that are very well composed, very can express themselves, don't have any fear, you know, not exactly, you know, like a Brad Pitt or somebody that goes on screen and you don't feel a bunch of garbage. They're just there. And not that he looks like Brad Pitt, he doesn't, but, you know, that kind of caliber.
Sure.
And I will predict that sooner or later you guys are going to see him on the screen in a major role, and you just remember that you heard him first on the Don and Wynn show. So, Tyler, are you with us?
I am with you.
Tyler, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Now, in the way that I introduced you, did I kind of say that accurately? Do you want to make any corrections?
Well, I first want to say thank you for such a kind welcoming and such kind words. I just want to say, first off, I humble myself because I'm just like everybody else. I just look at life different, but I think everybody has the potential to, look at life sort of the way a majority of the planet is starting to look at it now. But I don't think it makes me any more, you know, advanced or special than anyone. I just think I look at the world differently. But I just wanted to say that. And thank you so much for such a warm welcome again.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I kind of adhere to the Course in Miracles line that says, if I'm special, then everybody's special. If I'm not special, nobody's special.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, I came from the exact same energy source, the exact same,
bingo,
whatever you call it, as everybody.
Exactly. Well, we're coming into the time period where that's going to hold more and more truth for many. And that we're seeing that in droves right now as our illustrious leaders and governments throughout the world are constantly creating so much fear and disinformation, and they're scaring everybody. And you know, basically they're the terrorists, and they're trying to terrorize the people in order to unite everything under a common new world order. And we see that in so many different governments throughout the world. And so the people are starting to wake up to it, and they're really using, this is a catalyst for them. And it's a wonderful time period to be in, as long as people don't get caught up in the fear and really all the foolish nonsense that's being spread everywhere. I'll tell you, folks, if you're on the internet and you're somebody who's striving for information and really seeking it, you're going to meet a lot of fear-based stuff. Most of it you can just throw in the toilet because that's where it belongs. It's really just a war for your mind. But other than that, you know, it really acts as a catalyst. People are starting to wake up, thank heavens, and the truth is getting out there. There's more and more people like you, myself, Wynn, my brother, and many people that work with us and work abroad and all around this great country and this great continent, and we're all waking up. So I got to tell you, it's going to be a lively, fun future.
You know, there's a beautiful video that's out, which I don't remember the name of, and I really should have. I'm going to talk about it. But
Zeitgeist?
Zeitgeist. Wow, there's a fantastic movie.
I don't think that's it. I saw the little bit of it where it talks about how all over the world people are getting together in groups independently of each other and creating consciousness units that are, you know, potentially impacting the world, and there's never been in the history of mankind a movement like this, of people getting together like this.
Yeah.
And
moving love, man, moving love.
Do you remember the movie that is? You know what it is? You don't know what it is. Maybe next week I'll remind you, because they're showing clips of it on the internet, and I know that, I don't know if it's on John Rass's website, Visioneering. Well, I'm not going to mislead people, but it's just, it's true. And, you know, this little group of BBS Radio, the little groups I do on my conference calls, it's like what the way things are going to change is because we change the morphogenetic field. And that downloads and keeps downloading. And the more groups that are working and petitioning and praying and invoking their higher parts of themselves, and as a group, there's far more power. It gets more exponential than it does as individuals, that we have a big job in front of us, all of us.
I agree.
We can to make the impact that's necessary on this planet.
Well, we're making it. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, if we take a look at the internet, we've already reached critical mass. People always talk about critical mass being reached. When's it going to be reached? That 100th monkey, when's he going to slap your backside? Well, you know, if you check out the internet, he just might slap your backside, because as far as I'm concerned, that's an energy just like we're all energy, and we're seeing critical mass already reached on the internet. Look at Ron Paul's campaign. Look
right.
at all the groups, like you're saying, these little groups that are coming all out of the woodwork, forming networks of peace, and they're getting the job done.
So,
yeah, and if I can add to that, if I'm able to add to what Donald is saying, because I think it's very accurate. I think we're definitely in a new time. I think you hear it everywhere. I never heard this when I was having my conversation with Lynn. I was saying this is stuff that I just started to come to believe and come to piece together in my mind. You know, a lot of people talk about 2012. I personally don't know a huge amount about it, but
it's a date. What else do you need to know? It's a date.
Hey, Tyler, are you on a speakerphone now?
I am not. I'm on the earpiece.
You're on the earpiece. Try to put the microphone closer. Oh, I see. It's an earpiece because there's an echo around you.
Yeah, hold on. I like that. My apologies.
If you can talk directly in the phone, I know you'll get cell phone-itis. Microwave radiation, but if you talk directly in the phone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, say something.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
It's a little better.
It's a little better, yes.
Is that better?
Yes, quite a bit.
I guess I just don't have the best phone. What I was saying was I was adding to Donald. Donald's talking about we're in a time where, a lot of stuff's going on. You know, the government's trying to frighten us. You know, they act like terrorists are everywhere. And, I was saying that, we definitely are in a new age. I think that as humans, we came onto this planet as an energy. We came onto this planet and, we spent this entire period of time discovering who we are and growing as people. I mean, we started off with having each other as our slaves to, women can't do anything, to color, are the minority, and now, as we grow, things are changing, and we're growing and understanding that that's the ego part of us, and we're finally in this day and age starting to just to see the world differently in a lot more of a loving way. Still a lot of ego, but not as much hatred and misunderstanding of things going on around us. Like
I agree. You're right on, my friend.
I think that what would be really interesting to talk about is that Tyler is one of those people who's born into this world, and, everyone that's born into this world, no matter where they came from, forgets why they're here. And this guy has gotten a tremendous amount of inner understanding of his own self, much more than, there's a lot of young people out there that maybe have the same potential as Tyler, but they haven't come into the understanding yet, and they're still, you know, what I say, they're doing drugs, they're into rock and roll, they're not that rock and roll is bad. Rock and roll is fine, you know, but, you know.
They're eating corn cobs.
I love rock and roll myself. I play rock and roll, so I'm not, I shouldn't say rock and roll, but, you know, they've got ADD, they're like, their energy is all dispersed. They haven't focused their energy.
Look, there are more people today diagnosed with in fact, it's an epidemic. There are more people diagnosed by doctors and psychiatrists with bipolar disease than, it truly, folks, this is an epidemic of people that are being, you know, labeled as bipolar. And then, boom, folks, I've done this. I've had a DWI. I went off to a psychiatrist. She was 15 minutes late. I went into a room. When she got in there 15 minutes late, within 5 minutes, her name was Dr. Lourdes or Lourdes or something like that. Within 5 minutes, I was diagnosed as bipolar without saying anything but maybe a sentence. And then she had her $175 drug management fee because she'd already prescribed me bipolar medication. I went home, told my folks. They told me, look, son, throw it out. I threw it out. And that's really how it works today. It works if they can't get you now, they'll get your kids before they enroll in school. They'll inoculate you, vaccinate you, beat you over the head. They're going to make it compulsory. And really, it's a matter of doping you up, drugging you down. And it's a shame, but it's really come down to control, manipulation, and I think it has a lot to do with their trying to control the end time result, because most of these people, folks, are fanatics. They're fanatics. They're what you and I and many others have laughed at for many years. They're fanatics. And they're fanatic in one way or another, but really, truly, it's about what they believe as the end times, and they're justifying their greed. And it's funny, because when the end justifies the means, they actually believe in an end. And how can life end? Where is there an end? There is no such thing as an ending. So how could that possibly make sense to anybody? So,
you know what, Don, they're PhDs, and they're experts. And
they're definitely PHs.
Yeah. Well, the thing is people... Normal people, in general, have been trained to trust experts. They don't trust their own judgments
anymore. Well, have you seen all those community colleges that say, okay, you can get a law degree, a criminal degree, or you can go into the medical industry and get a medical associate's degree? And all these associate's degrees from all these colleges, notice how they're always criminal, pharmaceutical, or some way to deal with the legal or becoming a police officer or going into criminal justice, but it's always the same indoctrination type genres.
Well, and Donald, if I can add to that, I want to say personally, I mean, I'm just a guy with an opinion, I could totally be wrong, but I don't think that I don't think that cops and criminal things are going to stop this change from happening.
Agreed.
That they could have all the cops they want. I don't think that this new generation who's here to change the world and to bring love back, you know, also known as Indigo Crystal Children, they're not going to be doing any criminal things. So I think that's just a waste of their time. I think what they will be doing is coming into our world as the future, and as a sixth sensory being who is intuitive, who's connected with, you know, each other, and who have a profound, deep understanding of love. And if the people around them don't have the same thing, they'll either get phased out or have a really crummy job or just a really crummy situation, because they will not be able to connect with these beings.
I like the way you put that. Thank you. A sixth sensory being. I like just the wording of it.
Yeah. You know what? When you start opening up your upper energies, you can recognize other people who have them open. And, you know, the key is, if someone is in this world right now, the question is, how do I open up my higher energies to have this perception? How do I do that? And
how did you do it, Tyler? How did you open yourself up? Maybe since, from what I understand, you are a crystal child, so maybe explain how you opened up. Was it by reading? Was it by meditating? Was it by paying attention? Was it by seeking out a guru? How did you get there?
Well, I had this conversation with Wynn over dinner this week, and I was saying to him that growing up, I mean, I always had an inner voice. And it was weird because I was telling Lynn there's things from my childhood that I totally forgot until, you know, Peter Lamas came into my life last year, phenomenal person, huge mentor to me. I try to have, you know, dinner or breakfast with him at least once a week. And up until meeting Peter, I mean, I always understood sort of a little, like, the best way of explaining is I always felt energy, like if someone was mad at me, you know, I could just feel this immense heat coming off of their body. You know, if someone liked me, there's just this instant, you know, but I could never explain or, you know, and I kind of just put it off. Like everybody experiences the same thing and it's nothing special. There's no need to, you know, develop it or no need to really pay attention to it. And as I experience life, I think that the biggest thing that happened for me, and I was sharing this with Wynn, I actually had a weird experience, still trying to figure it out to this day. I don't know if I ever will. I mean, I have ideas of what it is that happened, but I'll share it with you. Maybe you can give me your, you know, opinion on the event. But growing up, I had a pretty rough childhood, and I chose that, you know, and everything that happened in my life made me who I am. So the path I had, you know, was a rough one, and I ended up having to move cities when I was 16, and moved to a big city. I'm from Calgary, Alberta. I'm from Canada, and if anyone knows, it's just a really it's not a small city, but it's, you know, compared to our major cities like Toronto and Vancouver.
Right.
It's smaller. Donald, you would know that.
Oh, yeah.
And anyways, I moved to the city at 16. I lived in a shelter downtown. I built my life from having to move to the city. And I never looked back. And I went back, I think it was four years later, to visit Calgary. And on my second day there, I just on the plane over, I was feeling very anxious and very, you know, anxiety filled. And on my second day there, I was feeling so anxious, like I was shaking, and it was just very hard. I felt like my body was coming out, and
yes.
I was trying to. It was very weird. I was trying to hold it in, and I couldn't explain it. And I told my brother, and he was like, "You need to have some coffee. That will get you grounded." It actually did quite the opposite. It made it even worse that I couldn't hold on to it. And we were just driving, and the best way I can explain the experience is I heard a pop noise, and I was out of my body, and then I came back into it, and I was shaking and trembling. And I asked my brother to take me to the clinic. I had no idea what was going on. And finally, like, I calmed down. It was a really scary experience. Much like a panic attack, but a prolonged, very prolonged panic attack that really totally disconnects your centeredness.
Sure. It was time for you, my friend.
Maybe. Like I said, I'm still piecing it together to this day. But after that experience, I was telling Wynn and, you know, the people I share the story with, before that experience, I had this connectivity to life where if I'm in a rich house, I could just really feel that richness. And, you know, if I'm in a big crowd of people, nobody's energy affected me. You know what I mean? If someone was like, that was their own energy. And the best way I could explain it is I was attached to reality. Like, I just was so immersed in it. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
The only time that I would feel out of my body or affected by energy is if a traumatic event happened, like 9/11 and
you
that
were
sort of stuff.
Sure, you were a reactor. And now you no longer react. You basically act.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. After I had that whole experience, and still to this day, I feel everything around me. Like, if I go to a mall, all the the energy I feel, all, you know, it makes me tired. Sometimes it affects me in a negative way, but it also affects me in a positive way, too. If I'm in a room filled with really positive people, my energy's brought up, and I'm still learning to, you know, control that energy and control it affecting me. But I would say that that started it, but I still kind of shook it off and still tried to kind of, the best way to say it is attach myself to reality. And I kind of used it as something to hold me back in the beginning. And the long story short is I ended up moving. I'm an actor, and I did well where I was back home. And when I came home from Calgary after having that experience to Toronto, that year, my life did a 360, and I did weird things, from calling friends who were just really shouldn't have been in my circle, and I called them up and said, we're no longer friends, changed my entire circle, changed, you know, everything that was going on in my life, and like I said, my life did a 360 that year, and not even probably 2 years later, it led me to moving to Los Angeles.
You know, Tyler, that I wanted to say something here real quick, and thank you, Tyler, because, by the way, for you, the folks who don't know who Peter Lamas is, Peter Lamas is the founder of Lamas Beauty. That's L-A-M-A-S Beauty, LamasBeauty.com. He's a man who's got a shining aura like a cathedral. I mean, if he walks into a church, really his aura makes the church look black. It's really that bright. He's a shining star on this planet, and we love him. And I know what you're saying, Tyler, when you heap on praise about Peter, because he truly has a heart of gold white, and I love the man. But When you talk about going through these changes, you're going to find that especially, well, for instance, tomorrow is an interesting date. It's a date. It's 999, right? It's September 9th, 2007, 999. If you add up the nines, then it's going to equal nine again. Nine plus 9 plus 9, 27, 2 and 7 is 9. It's a significant date only because many people believe it. It's a part of our history. It's a part of our future. It's a part of the now. So a lot of people are going to be working tomorrow on inner awareness. And so, you know, tomorrow again, you're going to find that just like you had an experience, Tyler, tomorrow, it's going to be the opening for many more people that want that experience. So a lot of people around the world are going to be meditating and praying and sending loving energy throughout the world tomorrow. And the reason I am stating that is so that those who are listening out there will do the same. We can use your support and your love and your strength and your energy. But tomorrow's a significant date, and many things like that are going to start to occur to people regularly, especially those people who are still desirous of change. They want to. They're moving along in their life. They may not understand it all. In other words, they're going to have strange triggers. People are going to start hitting their trigger points more so now than ever before. And tomorrow, I think, is going to mark a beginning transition to all that. So what you're feeling is something, and what you've gone through is something that I've heard from many people. Not the same, always a little bit different, but quite similar, because people open up at the oddest times, whether they're on a train, plane, boat, or they're just walking down the street, they're sitting in their room, they're talking to their mother, wherever the case is, they're finding these strange triggers. And these triggers are leading them into a search for who they are. And that is really what's happening to this planet. There's so much energy and so much love, and those little groups and the larger groups are forcing so much energy out there, and when my energy interacts with other people's energy and their energy acts with other people's energies, eventually everything we do, like Dr. Brooks Agnew is so aptly stating consistently on his show, everything we do eventually affects the entire universe. So why not do it on purpose?
I like that. Yeah, no, I agree with you fully. And I agree in the change of the planet and all of that. And I want to throw this out here because I was sharing this with women. I want to get as, you know, I like to get as many opinions and love to get yours on this, Donald. Yeah, I've heard you mention a couple times, you know, end times and new era and all of that.
Armageddon and end times, Revelations really means new beginnings. Armageddon has no, it doesn't mean end. End times means the end of current times, the beginning of new times.
Love that. No, I agree with you. It's funny that you say that because, quick on me, I grew up a strict Christian, Christian Protestant. My mom was just so strict of a Christian. Groundings were her putting her hand on her head and blessing us and shaking demons out of us. That's how serious my mom was as a Christian. And we had this Nintendo game. Yeah, we had this Nintendo game called Zelda, which we enjoyed, and my mom, would, when we came home from school one day, she traded it for Wheel of Fortune. So that was kind of the world I lived in, yeah. The demons, you know, it was more pushing that you know, you got to protect yourself from the demons, and it was more of a fear-based reality, which is interesting. And I was telling Wynn that, you know, in that, you know, when I was growing up in that kind of a place, that I was told to believe things that I never experienced. You know what I mean?
I do.
It called blind faith. And since my journey to LA, I've had this incredible. I want to add this, that I think that LA, and I'm almost positive New York is the same. There is something magical and special about these two cities, and I really think that they aren't the center of the universe, but they have a huge impact on our universe, and I would say some of the most blessed souls and some of the most powerful energies reside.
Well, they're incoming. You know, the water, the oceans are powerful in themselves, are great conductors. So what you find on the East and West Coast is they are actually the entry points for a lot of the energy that circulates throughout this continent.
Well, another thing, both L.A. and New York create works, artworks, movies, plays. These are things which...
We can barely hear you.
Oh, excuse me. L.A. and New York both are probably the media...
Meccas, yeah.
Meccas for the entire world. And so there's the potential to put things that are in those streams and impact so many people, which, of course, is one of my goals, and I think it's one of Tyler's goals, being in L.A., to be able to create something that can reach those people who are on the outer rims of information and are just depending on their evening news and the newspapers. And, you know, slowly but surely, there's works coming out that have the ability to change people's lives.
Sure.
Because most people still are at the effect of the television and the newspaper magazines.
Well, they're catalytical areas. They're catalytical transmutation areas.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so... I mean, Tyler said something to me that was interesting. He said, you know, in L.A., he knows there's a lot of people, individual people, who have creative powers that say, have the inner desire, how do I put something out to change the world? Now, of course, there's the other people that say, how do I put something out that's going to make the most money, that's going to attract the most, what are audiences watching now? They like violence, they like this. And so they're just trying to please what they think is going to please the audience. Of course, they've programmed and created that audience.
It's the end result justifies the means. Once again, it's that same old.
So it has to be proven that something really uplifting and touching is going to be also make money, in which case you now get both groups on the same team. You know, when you...
If I can add to that, because I think I know what you're talking about. I was sharing with the, correct me if I'm wrong, Lynn, but I was sharing with you what I see is going to happen, and what I feel is going to be part of this new evolution, this new change. And am I correct? Is this what you were talking about?
Yeah.
And I was sharing it sharing with you, Donald, also to get your opinion on it. Like I was touching on before, we come from an era, and you know, I'm only one person with an opinion, so take it as it is. You know, that's what I do, and that's what I urge everyone else to do. But we came from a period where, like I said, I think humans had a lot of growth and a lot of things that they discovered along the way, and I think that in our, you know, we're all in energy, and I think when we die, we're in our purest form, and this body that we're in, this, you know, suit of armor comes with things that, you know, challenge us, like jealousy and greed and envy and all that sort of stuff. And I believe that our past is filled with that. I believe that, you know, I personally believe that something as great as the Bible that we have, I believe that if Jesus was alive in human form again today, he would be pissed with everything that's occurred because it's far from what he was preaching. And I think, you know, in the past, because man is flawed, that is our thing, that's part of our suit of armor, that we're flawed. And I think people took such a powerful message that Jesus brought, and many others. Jesus is just one of the most recent that everyone can relate to. That's why I use the name.
Right.
But, you know, they took an experience like, you know, Jesus coming onto this planet and being like, people can't get a hold of this. We need to, you know, because we need control over people, and we, you know, our egos need to be fed. So how can we hold this information back and move ourselves forward and, you know, have a small group of us understanding this knowledge and a majority, you know, steering far from this, you know, and that, I think, leads to where we are today. I mean, I don't even need to begin to talk about the conspiracies within the government, you know, the things like the Federal Reserve, the IFA, all these things which have been rooted from the past egotistical, you know, standpoint of where we are, but moving forward, and like, you know, you guys said, and I fully agree, we're probably in one of the most beautiful times to be alive. And I believe if you look at what's going on in our world, you know, you guys talk about indigo and crystal children. And it's funny, Donald, you talk about Peter. I had such a great thing to add to, you know, the Peter Lamases of the world and you know, the indigo and the crystal children. I think that I believe that today 90% of the kids coming into this world are indigo and crystal children. They're the most common thing now. And I think in the past, indigo children existed just in smaller numbers. And I think that Peter Lamas personally, and I've told him this, is an indigo child. And he's a 65-year-old indigo child, which is so rare.
He's an indigo adult.
Indigo adult.
Well, right. You know, we're all children.
I mean,
it's the innocence. It's the innocence that they bring. With love comes innocence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know what an adult is anymore. An adult, to me, doesn't make sense. I mean, what truly is an adult? We're all innocent children. We were that way when we began, and we're still that way. All the trappings of the world and the distortions really don't change that a bit.
Yeah,
you know, go
ahead.
I just wanted to say, while we're talking, if anyone is listening, and if you happen to identify yourself as being an indigo child, or if you think you might be and you're screwed up and you haven't, you know, really latched on to your true purpose, if this makes sense to you, or if you're a parent that has children that are like this, that have ADD, or and you think they're indigos, but they
or
haven't
DAs.
Discovered themselves, feel free to call in and share a little bit and have Tyler's and our feedback on it.
You sure.
Share your experience. What's the phone number, Don? Do you know it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, give out the numbers. The U.S. number, toll-free, folks. If you're in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. And, of course, we also have a toll-free number in Canada. Before I give that out, let me give you the direct line, and this is for anybody who's abroad. or female. And that number is 530-876-3222. The Canadian number starts with 888 instead of 877. So it's 888-815-9756. We'd love to hear from you. So give us a call.
Yes, and I wanted to add to that because it's so interesting you guys talk about if there's listeners out there who think they're indigo or crystal children. Just to let you know, it's funny because I was at my friend's house. Cause you attract who you are, so you can imagine, you know, the people that are in my life. I've definitely attracted the same sort of frequencies, as we all do. And I have a friend of mine who he's spiritual, but he more like, he's an interesting one. Like, he thinks that he takes spiritual to another level where he wants to be able to, you know, teleport and wild stuff and, you know, teach their own. Everyone has their own glasses and how they see the world, and maybe that's how, you know, that understanding helps him reach whatever he needs to reach. But we were at his house, and we were watching this program, and he was telling us how, you know, indigo children existed, and he had this guy on the TV, and he made them out to be so complicated. Do you know what I mean? Like, so intricate, so complicated that you got to be very rare form to be one of these children. And you know, that's the human nature, is to complicate, you know, the simplest thing. And I would say, for my understanding, and, you know, like, again, I repeat myself, that I'm just a man with an opinion, but indigo children are as simple as indigo children is just people that have come into this planet and already are sixth sensory. Everyone has the ability to be a sixth sensory individual. Again, we all come from the same energy. No one is more special than anyone else on this planet. The only thing that someone may be is just a deeper understanding with themselves, and it's easier for them to get to places or to understand things. And I would say that, you know, a sign of being a sixth sensory person or an indigo child would be that, you know, you're able to tell if people are mad at you, if people are lying. You have a profound love for the world. You really want to make a difference. Just through your whole life, like, you know, an activity of an indigo child could be, when you're walking downtown and you see a homeless person, they ask you for money, you buy them food and you take care of them. There's a place of love that you live in, and there's you know, a place of awareness, and that, you know, and that's what I'd say. Did I complicate it?
No, actually, it sounded quite good.
It did. You know, one of the things is that
thank you.
When people feel isolated and they don't have a connection with anyone to validate their higher reality, and they have these higher vibrations, I believe that's when people end up being bipolar, because their energy...
Don't even use that word. I hate that word. I think it's garbage.
I agree with Donald big time.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's put it this way. They have a hard time being balanced because they go through swings, and because they're actually very high people. And that a way of looking at it is, if you're on the edge of yin and yang, and, you know, enlightenment is where you resolve the yin and the yang. But if you're on the edge, just at the point where it's about to resolve and it hasn't resolved, it's very easy to swing from the yin to the yang to the yin to the yang. And, you know...
I'm liking you, my friend.
So
you can swing on my yin to yang any day.
So this is the circumstance that I believe people are going through that ends up being looked at by the medical industry as bipolar. But in fact, those people are right on the edge. I don't even know if I like to use the word enlightenment, but being beyond duality, so to speak.
Well, they're like Tyler when he was on his trip.
Yeah.
If you would have went to a psychiatrist at that moment, mm-hmm. you would have been fed pills, my friend.
That's right.
Really, a lot of people that are coming into that awareness or that energy critical mass, because remember, when enough energy hits you, you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all energy. So as enough of that starts to penetrate into your structure or into mm-hmm. your energy body, it's going to eventually hit that critical point. And then different things are going to occur depending on who you are and how you've managed your own energy body and what that means to you and what it's all about. I can't explain it any better than that. But there are yeah, exactly like you're saying, when they're right on the verge. And, you know, that tends to be a complex thing to talk about when really it's quite simple.
But you know, what the person needs to do, or what I would suggest, is that they have to reach for the opportunity. Like in Tyler's case, I would say it came from meeting Peter. Peter Lamas changed his life quite a bit. And
he's been changing lives all of his life. He's phenomenal.
Okay, well, Peter is a guy that I think that it would be interesting for Tyler to say how he met Peter, because meeting Peter was a synchronicity. It was like a random event of the universe, but Tyler had to be ready for it. If he wasn't ready, it would have passed him by. And the way you get ready is inwardly to ask, I need to find the group or the person that can help me through this and that can hold the energy. You know, when you using that yin-yang description, when you find someone that's outside of your yin-yang paradigm, they can give you the guidance or the energy to help pull you through beyond it. Go ahead.
The caller hung up. Nope, there he is again. Let's put him back on. All right, caller, you're on the Donna Wynn Show. Welcome.
Hey, it's Tyler.
Oh, Tyler,
I got cut off. My apologies.
Oh, not a problem. All right, you're in the call-in line right now. So, folks, if you're going to try to call in, don't. All right.
Tyler, I was just talking about how you met Peter, and why don't you share it? Because I said that's kind of a synchronicity, and it's a kind of opportunity that if people, wherever they are, can project that someone's going to come into their life. They can see how it happened for you. It's just kind of a random event.
And let me say, Peter's story, how I met him, is probably one of my most my favorite story to tell, because truly, I know it sounds corny, but it's a moment that changed my life. And it was weird. It was a synchronicity, exactly like you stated. These occur all the time, and this is a part of understanding who you are. Once you connect to who you are, you're able to see these and act on them, because they all happen for a reason. Things as simple as if you keep running into the same person in your life, it's for a reason, and there's no such things as coincidences, and you got to follow it, because it opens the next part of your journey, or could open the next part of your journey. How I met Peter was, I was working at an antique store. Part of my journey in L.A., I came down here and my roommates left, and they left me with no place to stay because we were all in it together, and I needed a job, so I was working at an antique store, and Peter came in. And at this time, I was, sort of reading books, not like crazy, but sort of reading them and sort of reconnecting with my energy, and Peter just really stood out, and I started talking to him, and we just really connected, and in the conversation, he told me to pick up a book. When anyone ever tells me to pick up a book, I go and get it immediately. And anyways, that night, I went and got the book. The book was called Power Versus Force by Steve Hawkins or David Hawkins, something to that nature.
David Hawkins.
David Hawkins, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I got the book, and the next day, my boss was like, can you call that Peter guy back? I need to give him prices on items. And I was excited. And I called him back, and I was like, hey, Peter, it's Tyler. I got these prices on the items. And then I was like, and I got that book. And Peter laughed, and he said, let's go out for lunch. I'd like to talk to you. This would be interesting. And I met him for lunch, and he was just, if you ever meet, everyone that knows Peter, he's just an amazing soul, and was just so loving, and was like, he was like, I'm gonna get you reading some good books, and I'm gonna open your world. He's like, there's a lot you can do, and there's so much potential, and he's like, I'm gonna help you out. And we started meeting every week for lunch and dinner, and he'd recommend books, and he'd, give me nuggets of life, sort of like Tuesdays with Maury. And the most incredible experience I had out of the, with meeting Peter and just has affected me to this day, and it was probably 3 weeks into meeting Peter and doing the lunches and dinners, and I had a crazy roommate, and I needed to get out of the situation, and I found a place to live, and I had a first month's rent, but I needed last month's, which was $800, and my family, you know, I love them, and part of, you know, my choice of coming into this world was to live the childhood I lived, and for them to treat me the way they did, and they weren't able to help me, and I remember I was in my antique store and I was working and I was hanging up the phone. I believe it was with my grandma, the last person I had any hope of getting this money from. And this is a true story. None of this is fake. I hung up the phone, and in came Peter through the store. He came walking into the store. And I was like, holy crap. And at this point, I was really learning about, you know, everyone's connected. Everything happens for a reason. Follow, you know, everything that's going on in your life. So I said to him, I said, Peter, I hope to not offend you. And I'm just throwing this out here because this is just wild that you're in the store. But I found a place to live. My roommate's a little crazy. You know, I need first and last. I got first. He's like, how much money do you need? I said, $800. He said, And he pulled out $800 and he gave it to me right there and he said, you're like my son, don't even worry about it. And Peter knew me for maybe 3 weeks.
You know, that's who Peter is.
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
To give someone you know for 3 weeks $800. And that's when I started, you know, Peter's, you know, meeting Peter opened up and it was like we're all connected.
Yeah.
And if you are able to follow omens in life and you're able to really just know who you are and to know what's going on around you, you know, you're going to have incredible beings like Peter come through your life and lead you. You know, Peter, the greatest example of it is Peter's on the other side of the bridge and, you know, he's helping me over. And that was just the most incredible experience and it blew me away and it showed me that we live in a magical world. We really do. And things like Peter, you know, doing that for me happen all the time.
Well, you know, Tyler, I hate to cut you off because we're right at the end of our time.
Okay.
We're going to close out with a calling in of the light, but I want folks to know that, you know, Peter is that way in everything he does. And the reason I'm saying that once again is because he puts that much love into his products.
Mm-hmm.
And his products are skincare, hair care, makeup, cosmetic type products. You won't find better. You just won't. I really get animated when I say that because the kind of products that he has really show the kind of person he is. He's just that way in everything he touches and everything he does. And his products also show that. And you can find those at Lamas Beauty, LamasBeauty.com, LamasBeauty.com. Peter, we love you. Tyler, stick with us because we want you to be here when we call in the light. Wynn usually calls in the light after each and every program that we do, and it's a beautiful little thing that we do to try to bring beautiful energies throughout the world and to those that need it. Wynn?
Hey, Don, you know, we should put on our agenda. Let me just say this. We should have Peter as a guest one time.
I would love that. I would love that. In fact, we invite you, Peter, at any time you desire to have your own show here on the BBS Network, fully sponsored. You just let us know, and it's done.
I would be a viewer like you wouldn't believe. I'd be a listener, sorry, not a viewer. I'd be a listener like you wouldn't believe.
Because, he'd bring a lot of wealth of information to what works, what doesn't, what makes people beautiful. And he's a true believer in beauty comes from the inside. It's in the eye of the beholder.
He's okay. The oldest indigo child I've ever met.
And listen, before I call in the light, I just wanted to invite our listeners to tune in to the conference call that I do on Mondays. You know, every night of the week we do a conference line, and Monday it's on BBS Radio at 6:30 Pacific time. And there's a little group in that conference line where people are getting support when they don't have it in their lives for this upswing of energy. So check in on Monday, and if you like it, find out the phone number, and you can check in every night of the week.
Excellent. We're going to run a little. We're going to run a little late, folks, because we started a little late. But we'll try to wrap it up quickly because we do have a fireside chat with Zany Mystic Lance White coming up next. So, thank you for tuning in, Wynn. Let's call in the light.
And Tyler, you don't know what this is, but this is like an invocation of love and light to everyone who's listening and to our planet. And I'm happy to have you join us.
I'd love to join.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Don, Tyler, and myself, and every one of you right now who's listening, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. So give up your pain, your sorrow, your disease. You can do it right now if you believe it strongly enough. And what we're going to do is each of us exists in multi-dimensions. So in your physical body, you're all over the world, but in the next dimension, we can be as close as you can imagine. So we're going to establish that closeness if you want it. And we're going to make a group energy tying us all together. And as we do that, you can feel the energy shift in your space. And you can feel the vibration in your physical space coming in from the part of you that's communing with the part of everyone else who's a BBS listener. And now we're going to invite those positive entities, group souls, who are in those same dimensions to join with us in this big ball of light that we're creating. And we're going to surround our entire planet with this light through our own intention. And we ask this light to find all those places of darkness and fill it in right now. And shut our eyes and see ourselves doing that. We need to do that. That can't happen unless we do it. That's our part as humans, and we're doing it right now. And we're going to bring that light back to ourselves and back to our own bodies, and we're going to radiate it out to our homes and to our families and to our communities and to our jobs, so that we can be part of the team that is uplifting the vibration of planet Earth. I thank you all for being with us. Tyler, would you like to add anything to that?
That was beautiful. And no, I just wanted to add, I'm honored to have been on the show, and thank you very much for the opportunity to have a chat with you guys.
Tyler, it was an absolute pleasure. And Wynn, thank you for being my co-host.
And Don, we have to say good night to Hildy, your mother.
Good night, mother.
our favorite fan.
You bet. She'll always be our favorite fan. I love you, mother. I love you, father. Mother. All right, folks. Enough of this. We're a minute over. I apologize to Lance White. We're going to be up next with a fireside chat. Zany Mystic is going to sing for us, so stick around. It only gets better at PBS Radio.
I love you.